Bounce, 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 bounce. Wild Times, episode 38, the holiday season special, if you will. I'm the only one who dressed down for the occasion. I'll allow it. Gentlemen, how are you? Yeah.
Is it the holidays? I couldn't tell, Forrest.
You wouldn't know because you are glum, but Patrick and I have been celebrating like crazy.
That's fantastic. Oh, I couldn't tell by the hat or the lack of shirt.
You know, I had some nice Christmassy pajamas, but I've been wearing them for 4 days and they're disgusting looking. So I just popped them off and just went shirts optional for today's pod.
Couldn't be worse than what you look like right now.
Rude. All right. Well,
I made a rule in the house that we could only wear Christmas pajamas for all of Christmas Eve and Christmas. But same thing. I only have one pair. They're very ill fitting.
Yeah. It's not something you're going to wear more than 2 days a year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, if you're joining us for the first time ever, welcome. This is The Wild Times, a podcast where we hang out, talk about what's in the news in the wildlife world, and just kind of some general banter. I am your host, Forrest Galante, known as the Broologist. Joining me today is the Broducer, Mr. Patrick DeLuca. What's up, Pat?
Hey. Good. Everything's great.
Good Christmas?
Yeah, it was nice, man. I mean, you know, bummer, same as everybody, like didn't get to be around the fam. It was like 65 or 70 degrees here in LA, which was weird. Yep. but you know, drank a lot of red wine, ate some just terrible foods. I mean, foods that were so bad for me. It was delightful. had a donut for breakfast.
Oh,
it was
great. Good for you, dude. Good for you.
It was great.
Well, let me introduce our other longtime bro of the cast, Mr. Ratep. The professor. What's up, Ratep? How's your Christmas?
Hey, guys. It was great. Just to go off of what Pat said, I especially am missing one thing this Christmas, and I think everybody in the world is feeling this pain, and that's airport bars. I really miss getting to the airport at 6 a.m., having 7 Bloody Marys, talking to people who are that I'll never talk to again, ever. So just like telling them my most intimate personal life bullshit by the time I'm hammered, and then just heading my way to a different state.
It's so true, man. I've had so many of those interactions where like you almost start to get emotional about how great the connection is with the other person.
It's so good.
But you don't even know their name. Like, yeah, you don't even get their name, but you're like, I really like that guy that I just met and talked to for 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, traveling. I mean, I miss that aspect of traveling. Pat, remember that one time that we just happened to be at LAX in the same area together and just like went and had a cocktail together and then headed on our way randomly?
We should have intentionally missed our flights and just stayed. But
Before
we dogleg it too much, though, Forrest, what's your take on airport bars? Are you as much of an enthusiast as us? Yeah.
Definitely not as much of an enthusiast as you, Patrick. Having traveled through many airports with you, the second we get into an airport, you're gone. You just fucking Houdini instantly. And I'm like, where'd Patrick go? And 100% of the time, it's not the best bar. It's not the nicest bar. It's not the bar that has a certain type of food or booze. It's the closest bar to once you come through security every single time. And it's like, we'll be driving this group of like 15 guys going on this shoot. Like everybody's psyched. Everybody's fired up. It's like, oh yeah, man, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a month, whatever. Get through security. Everybody's still together. Group is now 14. Patrick's just gone. He's just disappeared. There he is sitting at the bar by himself. He's ordered 2 doubles just to get started. Everybody else does
dozen new friends hanging out next to him. Yep. He's made 20 new friends.
No, I'm a fan.
I'd like to hear from the Brosners, but Ratep and I pulled a brilliant move a few Christmases ago. We went just a guy friendly trip to Seattle to go watch a football game,
hung out,
drank a bunch of booze, got back to LA. We landed after a 3-day weekend and we didn't want it to be over. So we then proceeded to hang out at an airport bar for like 3 hours after landing.
Yep. Yeah,
that's a hell of a move. That is a great hell of a move.
I think, me anyways, I just didn't want to go home to what was waiting for me.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate. Much happier this year all around. Merry Christmas, gents. Happy holidays, Brosners.
Yeah. So Forrest, what do we do on this podcast for new listeners as if anyone doesn't know about it?
Yeah, look, it's the same people, you know, it's Hannah the Meat Tree and, you know, a couple of those others that just hang out every week.
Hannah. Jenny Ray.
Jenna, Ray. Not Hannah, whatever. I've been drinking for 3 days. It's Christmas.
Nice.
What do we do on this podcast? We hang out, we tell stories like what we're doing currently. We do a lot of bullshitting. And then we dig into some topical stuff, you know, what's going on in the world of wildlife. This is the only podcast, as far as I'm aware, that adds a little bit of humor and a little bit of levity to all of the serious shit going on in the world in the wildlife space. And it's a good time.
It's a great time.
Well, I think on that, let's get right into it, because something just went around like wildfire this week. It was on every news source. It kept popping up. People were texting it. Brosners were texting it. Researchers from the Ecology Society of America have released a paper detailing a strange new animal behavior they've witnessed. And it's an animal we talk a lot about on this podcast, the octopus.
Oh, yes, I did see this. This is great.
They have witnessed several instances of octopus punching fish, not like swatting at them, punching them. Like they look like Anderson Silva. Like it's a good... solid long-armed punch, punching fish right in the face.
Dicks. Maybe they're training. Maybe they're starting their own UFC. They're very smart.
So
For those on YouTube, I think Will may pull up a little clip. But go ahead, Forrest.
I like this video, and it's funny. I know that it's like this big thing, and it's got this catchy title about, you know, octopuses being angry and punching fish. But I don't see it as abnormal behavior at all. What I see is an octopus that's out cruising. It's being defensive. You know, in later on in the video, there's a couple goatfish that have their little barbels digging around in the sand right in front of the octopus. And he's just like, you know, just get out of my way. I'm cruising through here. I think what the octopus is doing is very clearly not acting like prey, right? He's asserting some aggression. See that? The fish gets close. Yeah. He's like,
throws him a jab.
Man. But look, the fish is looking right at him. Like, you know, the researchers are saying there's no direct conflict between the animals. And that might be true. But I think what the octopus is doing is it's completely vulnerable, right? An octopus, the way that they hide themselves is by camouflage. It's by tucking into crevices and caves. In this video, they're just out cruising around. But if these fish are coming to investigate them, kicking over dirt and rocks and coral reef, and he's just like, look, you know, get out of my way. Like, I'm not to be messed with. If you're going to take a nibble at me, I mean, he's a walking piece of calamari, you know? Anybody's going to come over and take a nibble. And he's just, he's just throwing haymakers to let you know that you don't want to come too close.
Yeah, when you're drunk, he says.
When you're drunk uncle at the Christmas gathering, when you're a little kid, especially if you're a little boy, and you're around 5 years old, everyone has that drunk uncle who teaches them how to throw a punch.
Oh, yeah. Right? Of course.
The drunkle sucker punch.
One thing that they tell you, the drunkle sucker punch.
Trademark.
You got to snap the jab, right? You snap the jab. You don't just kind of throw this big heavy thing. You snap it. The cool thing is this octopus, man, he is lightning. He's fucking lightning fast. Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I love
it. Pat, are you the drunkle now?
For sure.
I mean, you're talking about this like it's in the third person, but this is you now,
I have five nieces and nephews. But the one nephew is like two. The other one's like 15. I've bought him punching bags.
Nice.
I bought him a BB gun.
The
BB
2-year-old?
Good.
No, the 15-year-old. I bought him MMA classes, MMA shin pads.
Damn.
This year I just sent him a bunch of protein powder and creatine.
Great.
I'm clearly like.
Yeah. You're that uncle.
Yeah, I'm the favorite uncle. Yeah.
The drunkle. Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
The drunkle.
Yeah, that's great.
Drunkle Pat.
Drunkle Pat. That is good. Everybody needs a drunkle Pat. That is good. What'd you get?
So, Forrest, do you think these researchers got a little ahead of themselves? You think this behavior's maybe not as cool as what they're saying?
I think it's a little sensationalized. You know, I'm not saying I haven't actually read the paper. I've only seen the YouTube video. The paper might not be sensationalized at all, but the whole, like, octopuses are angry. Octopuses just punch fish for the hell of it. Like some of those headlines that are floating around.
Right.
Look, I mean, we make TV for a living. We've all been sensational. Like I get it. Right. I think that the way that this is being presented is definitely over sensational. I think what you have is, you know, you have an octopus moving across the ocean floor, fish that are investigating, and an octopus using its best defense mechanism to not attack and try and kill the fish, but just say, hey, get out of my way. You know, I'm cruising through here. I know you're not a direct threat to me, but I'm also letting you know I'm not prey. And it's just, it's a very understandable behavior from an intelligent creature like an octopus.
Makes sense.
Let me ask you this. I've seen a few videos. Maybe Will could pull one up while we're talking about it. For those listening on iTunes, we also do a YouTube. It's real fun.
That's right.
We show videos
daily
and pictures.
Daily
videos, 5 days a week. But, so Forrest, have you ever seen this where a scuba diver gets an octopus stuck around their face and their mask?
Oh, yeah. I've had it happen.
There's... Holy
really?
Shit. Okay. Dude, I've seen a couple of these videos where people are struggling and, like, you can tell that, like, their breather comes mm-hmm. out and they cannot get the octopus off. So for all the brosners, I'd like to know, what is the protocol to get an octopus that's stuck to your head off you?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Very common
scenario.
So I've
never had one glued to my yeah. face like that. And I have seen that exactly what you're talking about, where they pull regulators out, they pull your mask off your face, everything. And I've seen those videos. I've had them suck to my chest, suck to my arm, a couple different things. Looks like.
What about down your pants?
No, because I'm wearing a wetsuit, dummy.
Okay.
You're but see, now here's what's interesting. Here might be why I've never had this experience. This diver is pointing out a giant Pacific octopus, right? These octopus that get absolutely huge. They're the octopus that are famous for climbing out of their tanks and climbing back in secret. They get to be like 12 feet long. I mean, absolutely enormous. But so octopus are extremely tactile, right? And what I mean by that is they like to touch everything. And you can see it here. This diver reaches out his arm. This octopus just starts touching. And they're inquisitive and they're intelligent. These are all things we've discussed. Would I do exactly what this diver is doing? 100%. I'd be like, hey, little guy, you know, go for the tickle. And before you know it, you have eight of these, you know, 5 foot long arms wrapping around you. And the octopus is curious and it's going to touch things and mess with them and pull out the rebreather or the regulator and mess with the mask. This, what you're seeing here is not an aggressive defensive behavior. Like their defense is to run away. It's not to try and choke mm-hmm. you. This is just like, I'm inquisitive. I'm going to see what you are. I'm going to mess around. Now, what do you do in yeah. this situation? What this diver is doing, if you're listening on iTunes, come and check it out on YouTube, is exactly what he should be doing. He's just staying super calm, right? He's letting the octopus feel his face. He's letting it mess with all his stuff. Thankfully, he's got a buddy diver and someone filming. So there's a whole bunch of them underwater. But, you know... What happens is you get into a situation like this, then you startle the animal, right? The bubbles, you jerk backwards, you swat at it, whatever. And then it goes, oh shit, and kind of like clamps down. And that's when you have a problem. The question that you ask.
Yeah, right. Well, let me interject. So for a Pacific octopus, like the one that's on the video we're showing right now, that's fucking killing this scuba diver.
Slowly suffocating him.
So each arm has about 240 of those suckers, right? Those suction Correct. Cups. So each arm has 240 of these. Yep. And each sucker, it can hold a 30-pound weight.
And each one has a little wow. beak, a little sharp beak in it. Like imagine a bird's beak inside of each sucker.
No shit.
I did not know that. Yet. I did mm-hmm. not know that.
Yep. That's
so wild. Let's just do some quick math here, guys. 30 pounds times 240, that's 7,200 pounds of suction with each arm.
Yeah, right. So you're not able to do it much, right? So keeping calm is the option. You start swatting at it, stabbing it, you know, poking at it, anything. You're not going to win. I mean, you know, Patrick, you asked, what do you do? Stay calm. The octopus doesn't want to hurt you. It doesn't think you're food. If you start freaking out and it starts to literally try and rip your mask off or your regulator out, you're going to lose. These things get, like I said, eight, 9 feet long, you know, eight arms, two, what did you say? 20 pounds, 30 pounds of suction in each suction cup. You know, you're not going to win. Yeah, they are way too nimble and agile and just have too many limbs for our little human brains with two hands to fight one of these things underwater. You're just not going to win.
Man versus octopus. Octopus wins. There you have it.
Would you try, Recap? If I was like, listen, I know that, you know, you're just a huge puss, but I want you to come scuba diving with octopus. Me and meet an octopus, and I'm going to let him just kind of fiddle around with your dive gear. Would you do it?
Well, if by dive gear you mean my balls and penis, then certainly I would let you do that. But if you mean like the stuff that's allowing me to breathe underwater, zero chance.
Okay.
No.
All right. That's fair.
Dude, and the whole stay calm thing is just like, it's so ridiculous. Like, dude, I was just swimming some laps last night in my backyard you know, and there's a light in the pool, but something brushed my leg. I nearly drowned. And then I got worried because Christina's inside and I'm like, no one's going to know. Like, I'm just going to go because I was like, well, this could be one of those things where like a lizard or an alligator got in my pool. We live in California. There's no alligators. Staying calm underwater with an alien attached to your face.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I went to get an MRI recently and I've never had one before. The doctor, the guy's like, all right. He's like, if you get scared or anything, he's like, squeeze this ball. I'm like, what? Okay. I go in this thing and literally immediately squeeze the ball and have him pull me out. I was like, you go in and you're in this tiny tube. My head's in there. And I'm like, I had no idea what to expect. And I immediately was just like, dude, I can't do this. Like, I can't.
Did you make it far enough to where
here?
The noises start? That like crazy. Do you get that
no.
far? Oh,
the
dude.
The
gets
second
way worse.
It like got to my. Well, no, I ended up doing it. Like, okay. He's. And, but I was the same thing, dude. Like, I can't. Like claustrophobic, apparently I am now. When I was a kid, I didn't give a shit.
Right,
now I'm
right.
like, no way, dude.
My dog,
it gets on.
I take my dog for a walk every single day. You guys have been to my house. You know how the mailboxes are way down the road from where my house is. And on the left hand side, as you come around one of the corners, there's like a big drain, and it runs into like probably like a 15 foot long drain pipe, right? Like just the kind that connects, goes underneath the road to stop water from washing over the road. And two days before Christmas, I take Hoover down there and I'm throwing the ball for him as we walk down to the mailbox, and his ball goes rolling down into that tube, right? And it's happened a dozen times before, and it's just small enough that I can just get to my shoulder, basically into my shoulders in there. And usually the ball goes, I don't know, 3 feet into the tube, right? It's on a slant, so it rolls down, gets stuck in some dirt or something. So a couple days before Christmas, I throw the ball, it goes down the thing, Hoover's chasing it, but not grabbing it like an idiot. And it goes like, I don't know, the tube's 15 feet long. Let's say it goes 8 feet into the tube, right? 7.5 feet into the tube, like just completely out of reach, right? And Hoover would just, he'll go in like 3 feet, turns around and comes back. Goes in 3 feet, turns around and comes back. And I'm just like, God damn it, Hoover, you stupid dog. I'm not letting you lose this tennis ball. We play with it. So he like loves this one crappy blue tennis ball. Play with it every day. And, sure enough, I'm like, all right, I got to get it. I was just like in no mood to go find a long stick. So I just start belly crawling into this tube, right? And what I don't realize as I get in about 5 feet to the 7 feet in is I belly crawled with my arms, you know, like you do by your side. And it's so tight that I can't get my arm up to get to the ball. So I have to just keep going and keep going. And I like get to where my whole feet are in and everything. And it's a one-way trip because my arms are completely sandwiched.
No.
But yeah, my arms are sandwiched by my side, so I can't start backing out. And I even start trying. I didn't panic or anything because I could see the other end of it. And anyway, long story short, I end up picking up the blue tennis ball with I nose it a couple times to move it inches at a time. And I'm like, this is stupid. I'm completely by myself. Hoover's standing on top of the road just barking. And, you know, any car that's driving by is like, I don't know what's going on here. And I end up picking up the blue tennis ball in my mouth and just inchworming the entire way through the tube. And the end of the tube comes out, not in like a nice clear drain like where you start, has a big mound of dirt and leaves from buildup. So, it's like the hole's like that big, and I had to like push through with my head and then just climb out of the bushes, at which time my neighbors happened to be walking up the road, the same road that I was walking down, who I run into, and they just see me like just worming my way
with a
out
tennis
of the
ball in your mouth.
Had blue tennis ball in my mouth, dirt all over my face, and Hoover just got rah, 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 rah. And they were just like, "What are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yep, just getting the ball."
Oh my
very,
god, that, the
very
whole
awkward.
Thing.
Oh god,
the whole thing's terrifying.
Oh man, if there was a security camera somewhere around there to have captured that.
It was so awkward.
If any Brosters want to give Forrest a late Christmas present, how about a nice 3-pack of tennis balls?
Yeah. Blue, make
they're
sure
very
they're blue.
Cheap. Yeah.
You can let it go next time. Good God.
Dude, that is some no amygdala shit right there, because I'll tell you, it's just how long were you in the tube for with your arms pinned?
Probably
like 3 minutes,
said and done,
4 minutes.
I was going to say 3 minutes. All said and done, probably three Ugh. Minutes. Yeah. And the worst part was like, I said, I mean, I don't want to flog it, but I got to the ball and my arms are stuck and I was like, So I just started like nosing the ball forward to begin with. And then, you know, it was rolling about this much at a time. So I was like, well, this doesn't work. And I just ended up chowing down on the ball and crawling out.
You are a no amygdala octopus yourself. Yeah,
just kind of dumb.
So one of the stories that, that Wild Times Willie put on our show doc here, it's not news, it's old,
okay.
But I'd never heard this story and I found this pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So there's an aquarium in Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They decided to, at one point they housed tiger sharks, which I didn't even know you could keep a tiger shark in an aquarium.
Okay.
Tiger sharks, huge, right? They get up to like 16
yep.
feet.
Yep. Massive. Right? Eat everything. Yeah. It's like, huge I don't shark. Know how, for any of the fish nerds listening, it's like having a big Oscar in your fish tank. Like anything else you put in there, he's just going to eat, right? That's what having a tiger right. shark would be like.
So they bring this new tiger shark in, they introduce it. And it's a little to do, and they decide to open it up. You can come in, get your ticket. You're going to come watch and see this new tiger
Makes
shark.
Sense.
It's a big thing.
Makes sense.
Well, all of a sudden, the tiger shark starts doing that thing like a cat with a hairball, and he vomits. And he vomits up an intact human arm
oh, no
from
way.
Shoulder, from my. The shoulder to the fingertip.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
I mean, imagine you just took your kids to the aquarium. And all of a sudden, the shark picks up a fucking
human arm. Oh my God, that's insane!
So what happened here? I mean, were they able to like identify the arm?
Oh,
who it is?
They were because the arm had tattoos on it, right?
Oh, nice.
So, based on the tattoos, they were able to tell that it was like a convicted felon and blah blah blah. And it turns out that someone had murdered this guy.
Holy
Another
shit.
Another mobster had murdered this guy and fed his limbs to some sharks.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That was so, oh my God. I have so many questions. So I want, like, did they catch this other mobster or where
they
was
did.
This? First of all, did you say
Sydney, Australia? Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's probably somewhat normal there. If you, yeah, it's insane there. It's crazy.
Well, it used to be crazier.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people also, who listen let's just, from the AU.
Look, I don't want to upset every single Australian listener, but I feel like that's the least crazy thing Australians have ever done. You know what I mean? It's like just to off a guy and throw his arm out and a tiger shark eats it, routes it up in a tank. That's just like a Tuesday in Australia. That's not news.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, why did this make headlines? That's not news. There's a bunch of convicts stuck on an island. Of course they're hacking off each other's arms and feeding them to sharks.
Yeah, why wouldn't
I just love that it was identified from the tattoos.
Yeah, that's
like,
wild.
Oh, yeah, that's,
yeah, it just keeps going.
That's nuts.
That's Sal DeLufka. He's a notorious mobster thug.
Forrest, what came across your giant mahogany with marble inlay desk
indeed,
this week?
Indeed. There was one thing that I saw that I got really excited about. So, to give you a little background, about 2 years ago, 2018, there was an infamous female wolf. She was a Mexican gray wolf, and she used to pop up, you know, everybody knows, not everybody, but for people that don't know, there's weird shit going on in Arizona, right? We get jaguars in Arizona, Cotamundis in Arizona, all these weird animals that you never expect that pop up through these things called sky islands, which are little pockets of habitat that connect all the way down to like the jungles of South America. Anyway, one of these crazy, weird animals that pops up every now and then in the state of Arizona isn't the, you know, intelligent AU student, but it is in fact the the wolf, the Mexican gray wolf. And there was this famous animal. She was known as 1042. She was the alpha of a pack. She had birthed something like 40 pups in her lifetime. Well, in 2018, completely disappeared, right? And when a wolf disappears, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Everybody assumed that 1042 was dead. And it was kind of sad. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, this was so cool. This female wolf used to come and go through Arizona, and she had all these pups. You know, what a beautiful animal she was. Well, sure enough, just this week, the first time since 2018, 1042 turned up on a trail camera in her old hunting grounds in Arizona, which is amazing that she's back for one. And for two, it's effectively doubled the life expectancy for, you know, because they know how old she is and she's lived 2 years longer than expected. She's got 8 new pups with her. She's still actively the alpha of her pack. And what's so cool about all of this is because she now has 8 new pups in total, she's now known as the most prolific wolf in American history. So she's just, you know, out there just putting pups up. I don't know. It's just incredible. I don't know.
It is.
WT, if you got that trail cam footage of her, it's really cool to see her cruising with her pups. You know, an animal that we thought we'd lost. Makes sense. Yeah. Wild animal, wolf in Arizona, super rare to begin with. Pops up 2 years later, you know, right at Christmas 2020. She's got a bunch of babies with her. Turns out she's the most prolific wolf in the world or in North America. Super cool.
How old is she? Do we know? Like, what's the average lifespan of a wolf?
So they've known about her for 14 years. So that's really long, okay. Given that, you know, like
a regular
7 to 9 years is kind of what they're estimating for a wolf in the wild. So for her to be for them knowing about her for 14 years and seeing all these pups come about, that, you know, makes her really old and really successful, right? Because a wolf is only successful if they're at the head of their pack, right? In sense of like surviving a long time. You're not, if you're an omega or a beta, you're not going to survive as long as an alpha. She really is a badass. Yeah. So WT Willie, if you can actually pull up, there is a trail cam picture of her. She's looking kind of old, but you know, just an incredible story. Like this animal from Arizona disappears for 2 years, comes back. She's got pups. I don't know. I just think it's incredible. I'm just stoked the 1042 is still around.
Pretty crazy that, so they say that the average lifespan is about 6 to 8 years and that she's more than double that.
Yeah. 14.
Not to mention that she you know, they said there's 16 different packs where her offspring are the alphas of the pack.
Isn't that incredible? Oh, wow. It's good genes.
Yeah. So is that just freakish, unbelievable DNA? Yep. Like, is that what that is?
Straight up.
It's got to be,
I mean,
right?
Look, I think it's a combination, right? It's nature and nurture. I think she's got great genetics. She was living a long time. She's obviously tough as hell. You know, she's the most prolific wolf in North America. So she's a badass. So she's got great genetics. She's passing that on time and time again. But the thing about wolves, they're incredibly social. There's a lot of learned behavior. If she, how many offspring did you say she has in charge of packs?
16.
16 offspring, running different packs as alphas in different packs. She's taught some of that, right? She's shown those cubs, here's how to be a badass. Here's how to be an alpha. Here's how to run a pack. And then kick their asses and been like, get out of my pack, right? Go figure it out. And they've taken that combination of great genetics along with great education and gone and applied it and become alphas of their own pack. So I think it's incredible.
But think about this. This is the equivalent of if there was like a 150-year-old human who had 40 kids and 16 of them were like the president, CEO,
exactly,
the best player in the NFL. Yep. Like, it's crazy to think that 16 different packs are being looked. It's like a breeding horse, right? Like, I don't know if you guys follow horse racing at all. But there's TIZ, T-I-Z.
Okay.
A lot of horses, a lot of big money horses all have the word TIZ in their name because there was a famous breeding horse, I don't know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I think that was called TIZ Now or TIZ something.
Okay.
That just has had hundreds and hundreds of offspring that have become super successful.
Yeah, great genetics. And I bet, which is you weird. Know, I'm not super... I don't follow horse racing super closely. My grandparents were really into it and used to have a racehorse. But, you know, I bet like his stud fee, Tiz's stud fee was just like astronomical, right? Meaning like, hey, I want to breed, you know, Tiz with my mare. You know, they were probably paying hundreds of thousands of dollars just for him to come and impregnate the mare. And, you know, and it's worth it. Like, look at his genetics.
Hey, dude, you can get it. So a good shot of sperm from a big time horse. Yeah. Can go for, it's between 1 and 2 million.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's wild. It's weird. Yeah. Nobody's ever offered me anything like that for mine.
Well, no, I was going to say that.
And I'm like, a stud.
Why don't they do that with humans? Like Tom Brady could be racking up even more millions here.
Who says they don't, Ritep? Who says
they don't? Yeah. I mean, there might now be we're getting some Illuminati shit, dude. Maybe the high level sperm is being sold.
You find out. Let me pose a hypothetical to you. You find out. You know, we all know this, but finally, you find out that you're actually impotent. You're with your future wife. You guys, you're loaded, right? Obviously, you've made billions off of the Wild Times podcast, billions.
Yep.
And you can't have a kid naturally. You got two options, right? One is you go down to the shelter and pick one out of a cage, aka you adopt, or I'm kidding. You either adopt a kid, or you know
shelter.
You get Tom Brady to knock up your wife, and that's going to be your kid. What do you do? You pay $1 million to Tom Brady, or you adopt?
They have to have sex.
Yeah, I know.
Behead Tom Brady. That's what I would do. No, I would kill Tom Brady, and then I would decline to have children ever. And that's what would happen.
Not an option in this hypothetical.
What do you mean? Same scenario.
I guess I'll take one out of the cage. Fuck it.
Okay, same scenario. You can't afford to adopt because you just bought a mansion. It's you stretch yourself thin.
Right, my billions are.
You need to just have a sperm donor, and both me and Forrest are the two only options because we're willing to do it free.
Free.
Well, again, I would kill both of you and decline to have
children. You got to pick one.
Oh, God.
That's how this game works. Yep.
Oh, I would easily. Oh, God, actually.
Easily.
Well, I mean, it was easy. Right off the top of my head, I have a thought, and that would be Forrest, just because, he's more handsome. He's more outgoing. He's
very
generally
lover.
Just a better,
very good
better person to be around. Good, just a good-hearted man. But Pat has the type of grit that only psychopaths have that make it to the top in this world.
It's true.
Yep.
And
useful.
I could either if I want a good-natured, good-hearted kid, I'd go with you, Forrest. If I want just a successful shark, I'd pick Pat.
And how about the kicker where Pat and I actually take her down together and you'll just never know who was the real dad? That's how it actually
That's the right way to go.
That's what we do.
Yeah. I'm out. Like, I quit. I quit the podcast. I'm out. I can't.
Oh, that's funny.
This is not a good mental exercise.
This is getting way off track.
So, this is terrible.
For people that are new to the podcast, Will, I texted you a photo. We call the listeners the brosners because really we don't think of a big separation between us and it's just a big
They're
hang,
bros.
Right?
Right.
Tons of the content comes from the brosners. Please continue to send us stuff, DMs, emails, whatever. I thought this one was great. So a couple weeks ago, a guy named Josh had sent us, he's a Marine in South Carolina, and he had sent us the stuff about how they weren't allowed to run at night because there were so many coyotes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yep.
on their base. Mm-hmm. So he sent me another one, and this is fantastic, and he sent a picture. He said, just thought you'd find this pretty funny. So here's the thing. Marines are like gremlins on steroids when they get drunk. They start getting into shit they're not supposed to. So some Marines at my base got drunk one night, caught a fucking gator out in a drain ditch, somehow without getting bit, and decided it would be a good idea to keep it in their barracks room.
Smart.
Oh, my God.
They wound up getting caught when it crawled out of their closet during an inspection and they got in a bunch of trouble. Just thought you guys might get a laugh out of this story. Will, can you pull up the photo for the YouTube listeners?
Oh.
There we go.
Like they got them all tied shut. I mean, I feel sorry for the little guy, but it is kind of funny. Like you can just imagine a bunch of drunk Marines, you know, feeling like they're at summer camp and catching this little gator and being like, he's our friend. Let's put him in the closet.
He lives here now. He wears a Marine hat.
So if you're not watching on YouTube, yeah, he's got a Marine hat on, which I actually didn't notice in the small version because it's tied
camouflaged. Onto his head. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's the exact same color as the gator is. Very
it's
good
as if
camo.
The Marines took their camo from modeled it after a gator skin.
I mean, here's the thing. Real. Like, you know, if this was pretty much any other animal, I'd be very like against it. And I don't mean to be a buzzkill because it does stress them out. These are little dinosaurs. You know, that gator went back into the pond, I imagine, later that day and is probably back to eating fish exactly where he got caught. You know what I mean? Like he's probably
he doesn't even
totally
remember,
fine.
Probably.
No, he remembers it, but he's not, I don't know. I think it's funny. I feel like it's funny and silly. I'm not encouraging people to do this, but I get it. A bunch of guys hanging out, drinking, catching a gator, putting it in the closet, giving a cute hat. I get it.
A cute hat.
Imagine the guy doing the barracks inspection.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
think that was his first
like, what toilet's the clean? Fuck is this?
Yeah.
You fucking private. What's this guy's name? Private Mac, get your fucking ass over here. What the fuck is this? What are you fucking idiots doing? You fucking morons pulled this shit out of the creek.
Yeah.
You'd be going insane, dude. Think of how funny. Pissed he'd be, too, because it would scare the shit out of him right when he saw it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he'd look like a little bitch in front of everybody. They'd be chuckling, giggling, dude. They'd
and by the
furious.
Way, like, I'm sure the guys who did it, their first response was like, it must have wandered in, man. Like, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
He's like, there's a fucking hat tied to its head.
Hat on. With the hat, dude. So
that's
good.
Funny. That's good. Well, I'm glad he sent that
Forrest,
in. Yeah.
Forrest, I got a question for you. Something that I've heard, obviously, I think everybody has. They say that like goldfish lose their memory every like 3 seconds or whatever, mm-hmm. some ridiculous amount of short span of time. I mean, I can't believe that it's true that it's like every 3 seconds. They obviously probably have pretty shitty memories, but how true is that? And like, are there other animals? Like, are birds, do birds forget everything? You said this alligator wouldn't forget, like he'd remember. What about these fish and shit?
That's a good question. And I think the short answer is we don't really know the answer to that, right? I've heard the same thing, like I remember being a kid and I used to insult people by being like, you have the memory of a goldfish. I've heard it. I know what you're talking about. I think the short answer is we don't really know. And I think how we define memory, right? We define memory as like being able to relive an experience in our mind, right? I don't think mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. how, I think it would be anthropomorphizing to say that that's how animals define memory. What I say that this, I know that elephants have incredible memories. Like I've seen it firsthand. We've witnessed it. It's well known. They recognize people. They know where to come year after year. You know, it's not just instinct. Now, when it comes to right. an alligator brain, like this little gator ended up in these barracks, my guess is he going to remember this experience of this thing that happened? No. I don't know this. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything to back this up. This is just observational. But what he will remember right. is when he was sitting in the creek and something shined a light on him, next mm-hmm, thing he knew, mm-hmm. he was super stressed out, right? Now he's back to eating fish. So the next time he's sitting there eating fish in the shallows at night and something shines a light on him, he's probably going to hightail it out of there because he knows that there's this traumatic thing happened. I don't think he's going to relive the experience and be like, fuck, I had a hat tied to my face and lived in a guy's closet. That was weird. I don't think it's reliving that experience like that. I think it's just this kind of instinctual learned thing where it's like, oh, something negative happened when this other thing happened. And now I'm particularly wary.
Well, that's interesting because that's almost like when you're a kid, when you're four, five, six, when you start to remember shit, but it's like foggy. You only kind of remember like the feel, like you said, like the light feeling. And then something mm-hmm. bad yep. or whatever. Like, yep. Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. Yeah, fuck. Yeah, you're probably right on that. Well, I wouldn't know shit, but
that's my guess. I don't know. But speaking of things getting sent to us, I saw some pretty funny stuff that, and look, there's more stuff in the news we can talk about too. But I saw some pretty funny stuff from some of the brosters that I thought I'd tell you guys about. So I got one of the brosner DMs from at Owen Roberts commented on the hippo video. And for those that don't know, we saw, this video of this guy named Marius who believed this hippo loved him like a son and he would ride it and he got smushed by it. And I thought Owen Roberts just nailed it. He's like, can someone make a movie adaption of his life and have Danny McBride play Marius? Which I think is just such a good call. It'd be perfect.
Who would play the hippo?
Ritep.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
But it's going to be I'm going to dress up like a hippo. I don't think I could pass for a hippo.
I thought that was pretty clever. But the one that I really wanted to dig into is at Will Dramble says, look, guys, the new year is coming and we all need a vacation. Can y'all make a list of cool family or just general tips for people to take? He wrote this kind of weird for people to experience wildlife and relax. Cause I'd rather just trust y'all while not listening to the internet. Hope y'all get, he likes y'all. Hope y'all get
this.
This
is a great question.
So the question is, what should you do to take a cool family trip or experience wildlife? And I figure like, this is something we can all weigh in on, this is opinion based. Yeah.
So look, let's limit it. Obviously, Forrest, with our line of work, we've traveled internationally a lot. He's talking about somewhere to go with the kids.
100%.
So let's keep it, I think, domestic, right? Keep it within the U.S. Yep. A good place to go with kids.
Yep.
So Forrest, I mean, why don't you start?
Yeah, 100%. This time of year, you're looking for somewhere cool to go. You want to experience wildlife. My thing is, the United States is incredible. It's so diverse. There's so many different things you can see. There's so many different places to go. One thing that we have that is just mind-blowing, and to me it's mind-blowing no matter how long you've been here when it comes to experiencing wildlife, not just nature, because you can go to Big Sur, California and see a pretty waterfall, right? But there's not a lot of like wildlife to experience, is the freaking Florida Everglades, man. If you've never been to the Everglades, go and check them out. They're absolutely incredible. And for you know, to a very large extent, they're relatively like, I won't say unregulated because that's the wrong term, but like it's free, you know, like it's right. It's wild and it's free. You want to get a canoe and canoe through the Everglades and see all the birds and see the gators and the turtles and look down and see the fish. I mean, it's incredible. You might see a panther, you might see a bear. It's just such an insane, unique habitat. And in the wintertime, this time of year, it's a nice break from the cold pretty much wherever you are. There's a lot of wildlife congregating around water because it's not the wet season mm-hmm. there. And it's warm. It's beautiful. It's just a great place to go. So a lot of people ask me this, you know, where can I go in the U.S.? It's cheap, blah, blah, blah. And I get to see cool wildlife. Go to the Florida Everglades. They're amazing. They're packed with wildlife. It's unique. It's diverse. Anyone can get there. You know, that's my tidbit.
Yeah, what you can eat lots of python.
You could,
as Forrest would say.
You could.
Pet. Many python everywhere. You can take them home as pets, bring them to other parts of the country, right?
Yeah.
You can do all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just kidding. Ritab, where would you go?
You shouldn't.
Not that you're me, the biggest wildlife visitor, but where would you go?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think he's just saying just cool family or just a general trip.
Yeah, to see wildlife, though. That's the
yeah,
that's the key.
Well, I know I skipped that part because, you know, whatever. But no, so I've gone here before and I would recommend to anybody grabbing a cabin out by on the outskirts of Yosemite Valley is amazing. I mean, there's even when it's cold, I went there in February one year and got a cabin with some friends, small cabin. I mean, it was cheap. We drove into the park. It was a little bit cold, but I like that. It was brisk. I mean, you know, there's still waterfalls. There's bears, black bears and shit, all kinds of, it smells good. The air is fresh and it's just it's a great area to be. There's all kinds of foliage and trees and fun shit to do there.
Completely different habitat too, yeah. Right? Like your Florida Everglades, lowland swamp, it's reptiles, right. It's fish. You know, you're talking about Yosemite. Yeah. It's mountainous. It gets snow. It's beautiful. There's a ton of deer, of bear, of eagles. I mean, it's very, very different habitat. So yeah, that's two pretty good options. Patrick, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to assume that I don't have kids, but I'm going to assume that they're going to hate mosquitoes. So Everglades I'm going to ease into that one. Okay. I would say Yellowstone. So Yosemite is a national park that's in central/Northern California. Mm-hmm. Yellowstone is out in Montana. I think it even touches Wyoming. Mm-hmm. It's massive. Insane diversity of wildlife. I mean, hundreds of thousands of bison. You have grizzly bears. They've reintroduced wolves there. Yep. So now there are wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can, you know, possibly see if you get lucky. What other kind of stuff do they have there? I mean, tons of eagles.
Oh, everything that you can think of as far as like plains game in North America. You know, it's where everything is, really. It's like the last stronghold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's massive, and there's a ton. It's not just like if you go there for a week, you're just going to be looking at bison and bear for a week. Sure. There's a petrified forest. There's Angel Falls. There's geysers to see as well. You know, this crazy geology and this super active geological environment. I mean, it's such a crazy place that, you know, when people first started talking about it years ago, when mountain men would come back east to talk about this place that they had seen, nobody believed it. They thought it wasn't true.
Fabled.
That this couldn't be a real place. And next year will be the 150-year anniversary of Yellowstone. Because of those stories, a bunch of senators and congressmen went out west to go see if it was real.
Teddy Roosevelt,
and
right?
And then they saw this
place. He made Yellowstone,
Roosevelt went a bit later.
Gotcha, okay.
Roosevelt went later. But, you know, then they went back to D.C. and they were like, this place is crazy. We got to protect it.
Yeah.
And that's why if you go there now, you can sort of, there's roads and stuff like that, but it's largely preserved and untouched as it would have been
a long time ago. And it's stunning.
Yellowstone's pretty dope. Yeah.
I think for all Brosners and for Will Dramble, looking, you know, there are three really good options, whether you're East Coast, center of the country, or West Coast, right? You've got, and three very different habitats. You've got North American grasslands, lowland swamp, and mountains of California, Sierras, you know? There's a reason those places are famous, right? Like I could tell you about, go to Crystal River and see the manatees, this tiny little spot, blah, 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 that nobody's ever heard of. And it's great. You know, is it something that you can do with your family for a week? Probably not. You know, you can do it for a day and your mind will be blown. It's beautiful and you'll love it. But everywhere that I think we just named are awesome week-long, you know, 5, 4, 3, whatever day vacations where you're not going to get bored. There's new stuff to see every day. There's tons of wildlife in all three of those locations. So yeah, I think we summed it up nicely there, gents.
I actually just saw an article recently that was talking about how I think it was 80% of people due to the pandemic after this long are now not trying to figure out, but they're reconnecting with nature, because really that's the one outlet that people have now to not go insane. I mean, you're going outside, you're doing shit, but I thought it was super, like a super interesting, positive way to look at the pandemic.
Right.
Dude, since it's so grim, you know,
hate it and love it, because you know, I've got all these little back trails that nobody ever goes to that only I know, where I can find certain snakes or, you know, go bow fishing away from anybody in the river, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, for the last 15 years that I've lived here in Santa Barbara, I've never seen a single person on my little secret spots, right? Two, three weeks ago, I went up with my buddy Kevin and we went to go to the river to hike the river. There were 5 cars at the pullout that I park at, you know, 5.
There you go.
What the hell's going on? Yeah. It was like a Tuesday, you know, but like that's what's going on, man. They are getting outside. They're connecting with nature more, which I love. I hate it from selfish reasons, because all of a sudden all these spots that I consider mine are blowing up. But you know, that's great. I like that people are getting out there. They're exploring, they're finding new stuff. It is definitely a silver lining with everything that's going on.
For sure.
Yeah, when you shake things up, right? When you shake up sort of how everyone's living, it's funny because you go like, okay, there's like 7 billion people and we all are different. We all have different things we like and do. But then when something really crazy happens, we sort of move in unison, right?
Right.
Like we come back to our basic needs. And so it's just interesting to see what's going on culturally with, you know, people reconnecting with nature. So in most cities in the U.S., people are trying to get out of their apartments and condos and get outside the city and get to some, you know, a house with a yard. You know, that's why this brings me to our next one. I was going to say, it's why like Home Depot and Lowe's stocks and home builders are all blowing up. This brought me to another Brosner feedback that we got for us.
Oh, interesting.
That I think you'll like. So Callum Paris Barnes.
Okay.
Great name.
Good name.
Sounds very, he's like strong. Probably got a lot of Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
He's got a good collection of China.
Russian nesting dolls.
Well, Forrest and I have given out a couple stock tips just casually. We are not an economics podcast and we take no responsibility if you lose all your money. But Callum Paris Barnes said, hey guys, now I know the pod is not an economics pod, but want to say thanks for the stock market tips. 3 exclamation points. Back in June, Forrest made a throwaway comment that he's doing well with cruise line stocks, so I bought some. Then last week, Patrick spoke about Bitcoin and gold as plays on inflation because we're printing money to hand to people. He says, I've jumped in and they have now hit all-time highs.
Boom.
Now, I'm not basing my strategy entirely on what you guys say, but thanks for these tips. Maybe you guys should switch it up.
Mm. LOL. Maybe you should base your entire strategy on our lunatic rantings, Callum. Ever thought of that?
I'd like to start basing my strategy. Do you guys got any current tips? I know
I have.
You're
one.
Always on the pulse, Pat.
So Ritep, I figure you would, if you had a tip, you would just do Yum Brands because they own Taco Bell.
I love tasty food. Yep.
All right. So still kind of sticking with the Bitcoin play. I have 2 interesting stocks that I have utterly smashed on in the last few months. There's one called SI, which is actually easier to trade. It's called Silvergate Capital. It is a brokerage for cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Got into that one at $16. It's now sitting at $64. Still tons of room to run. And then another one called VYGVF, Voyager Digital, which was trading at 7 cents earlier this year. It's up to $3.40. But I'm not selling. I got in under $1, but I am not going to sell because I think there's room for this to just keep blowing up. It's another, you know, it's very hard to trade crypto, right? Peter has talked about why he didn't buy Bitcoin back in the day when he wanted to, because it was just such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So these are services that are going to try and make it easier, almost like an Ameritrade app on your phone, just to buy and hold. So those are my tips. What about you, Forrest? What are you dabbling around with?
I was just pulling it up to see what I've been messing with lately. You know, it's been so, everything's been fluctuating. I can't say that anything has really hit a home run for me lately. I did at your suggestion Patrick, buy in a bunch of Ruth's Hospitality, as in Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And that, you know, I bought in really nice and low on that. And that's continued to go up and up and level off at a real healthy place. So I think with the current shutdowns in restaurants, at least in the state of California, once they reopen, you're going to have a nice, healthy little spike there. So, you know, I think there's there's definitely a short-term play there to get into hospitality groups.
This is fantastic. You guys are hilarious.
What?
I love that neither of you invest in any wildlife stocks of any
What is
type.
A wildlife Zoos? Stock?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Zoos.
What about the San Diego Zoo, SeaWorld?
Those aren't publicly traded companies, I don't think.
I
really
SeaWorld
don't know.
Might be, but
listen,
I'm definitely not buying SeaWorld stock. No, that's no good.
Definitely you can't invest in companies
today.
In companies you don't like, right? You can't do that.
Nope.
Like I had I saw that the guy who helps invest some of my stuff had bought Verizon stock. And I just said, I don't care what the metrics is. Just get rid of it.
Get rid of it. I hate
their
Verizon.
Their customer service has driven me nearly to the point of murder several times. I don't want to own any of this company. Fuck them.
That's funny.
All right, guys.
I know what time it is. I do know what time. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rita.
Do you know what time it is? I don't think do know
Someone
what time
I think
does.
You do.
It is. I want to get back to our roots here. We haven't done it in a few podcasts. I think it's a good little play off of your stock tips. Let's do fact or fiction because your stock tips are definitely fiction. And
you're right. They really are. Yeah. They're nonsense. Let's do it. Fact or fiction. I haven't played that in a while.
All right. Fact or fiction is easy. Easy game to follow along with. I'm going to make a statement to Pat and Forrest and everyone. And Pat and Forrest are going to guess whether or not it is a true statement or if it's just bullshit. Normally we like Pat to guess first since he, you know, doesn't know much about anything.
Correct.
And Forrest to go second since he probably knows the answer
just
to all of
slightly more. Let's go ahead.
All right. Number one, sperm whale calls are so powerful that the vibrations can kill divers, but more often they make them violently shit themselves. Pat, what do you think? Thoughts?
Okay, does the whole statement need to be true?
Yes.
Okay, I believe that a sperm whale call is possibly powerful enough to displace enough water or whatever to kill a diver. Mm-hmm, I don't believe that oftentimes divers are just spraying diarrhea around the ocean because they're so close to sperm whales. Because I just don't think that many people are diving with sperm whales. They go down super, super deep. They stay down for a long time. I know people have done it, but I don't think most of them have had violent bouts of diarrhea as a result. So I'm going to say fiction.
Well, not diarrhea, but yeah. Okay.
So
just poops.
They had diarrhea.
If you're interested in this topic, and I don't mean to be too much of a science nerd on this, read my good buddy James Nestor's book. I believe it's called Breath or One Breath or Breathe. I kind of don't know why I'm blanking on it because the last time I read it was like 10 years ago. And one of the things that he talks about in the book is how sperm whales have such an incredible call. It's so powerful that the subsonic boom that it sends through the water is capable of stopping your heart. That being said, there's no record of that ever taking place. Sperm whales have injured a couple people. They've never actually in the wild made your heart stop. And I'm going to say that they're not making you crap yourself either. So I'm going fiction.
All right. You both picked false. I'm going to admit this was a bit of a trick question. They do indeed have powerful vibrations that can kill divers and other animals. Personally, I shit myself. I don't know if it was because of one of these sperm whale calls or just because I ate too much Taco Bell. But for all intents and purposes, you're correct. This is false, other than my personal story of shitting myself.
they say usually the most logical explanation is the best. So when you shit yourself after eating Taco Bell, it was probably because of a sperm whale.
Right. that is the most logical. All right. Yeah. All tied up.
Okay.
All tied up.
Yep. Tied up 1-1. Number two, the predominant flavoring in vanilla extract comes from the anal glands of a beaver.
This is so fucking stupid that I can't even justify it with the response. No, it's vanilla bean and alcohol. Just fuck off.
Yep. Now, wait a minute. Are you saying synthetic vanilla?
No, I'm talking about the flavoring in vanilla extract.
There's literally not a single person flavoring on earth that would fall for this. This is nonsense.
Okay.
The vanilla is a bean. It comes from Madagascar. This is nonsense. Okay. This is false all around. 2 for 2.
Yeah.
Okay. You're both wrong. This is actually true.
No, it's not. It's not true.
Explain yourself or we'll never do another podcast again.
Listen, it's still 1-to-1. This is in fact true. Beaver butts secrete a goo called castoreum, which the animals use to mark their territory. Completely safe. Been approved by the FDA. You know, Joan Crawford, a wildlife ecologist, says she lifts up the animal's tail, gets down there. If you stick your nose near its bum, she pulls it out and she adds it to her vanilla.
Come on, Ritab.
I swear to God.
Come on. Vanilla is a known thing. It's a bean. It grows on a plant. You can buy vanilla beans at the store. This is nonsense.
No, but here's the thing, Forrest. This insane lady who's fucking violating beavers makes a product that's similar to vanilla, so it must be true.
It is the beaver bum goop, castoreum, and people, historically, it's added to your vanilla extract as a main component, and it gives it its unique, delicious flavor.
Okay, great.
All right.
Let's move on.
Feel free to fact check me if you want to fact check it.
I can't argue with you because I don't know what to say about it. I know what vanilla is, but I've also never licked a beaver's anus, so I have no ground to stand on.
It's still 1-to-1. No point given in that one because you both got it wrong. 100% incorrect on that one. The next one, there is a species of fruit bat where the male fruit bat can lactate. Is this true or is this bullshit?
Hang on. Sorry. I was reading about the beaver thing. All right. Okay.
And surely
National Geographic Castoreum, which has been registered as a safe food product for 80 years by the FDA, has frequently been used in many perfumes and vanilla extract.
Just remember that next time you get a vanilla latte at Starbucks, people, you're going to be licking beaver bum. So there we go. That's quite something.
All right. What's the third one?
Read it.
What do we got?
So the third one, I'll read it again.
I wasn't paying attention because I was reading about that I've been eating beaver asshole for the last fucking...
It's great because everybody else is looking it up just so they can prove me wrong because they think I'm a dumb, but it's true.
It's ridiculous.
You can look it up.
All right, go ahead. Third one. Here we go.
Again, the third one. There is a species of fruit bat where the male fruit bat can lactate. True or false?
True. I have no problem with this.
Yeah, I know that's true.
All right. Well, now you both have another point. That is, in fact, true. Yeah. There is a milk-producing male fruit bat. They are the Dayak fruit bats, small flying fox of Malaysia and Borneo.
Yep.
And they lactate. Not much more to be said about that. You guys knew that one.
All tied up.
All right.
Okay.
It's all tied up. We're going to do a tiebreaker. Nearly 100% of the fish that you eat has parasites.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would assume that all animals have parasites. I'm sure we all have parasites in us right now. I would say yes. Really? True. Okay. Fact.
Nearly 100% of the fish. Yeah. Copepods and skin fleas and things like that. Yeah. I mean, I hate to keep going with the same thing, but yep, I'm also going to go true. Fact.
All right. You guys both got that as a point, you idiots. It's a fact. Usually these parasites are killed either by cooking and in the case of raw fish, by freezing the fish before it is allowed to go out to restaurants and be consumed by us. But sometimes sushi.
Yep.
Yeah. If you look closely, you might see a worm wiggling around in your bullshit sushi.
Now, is that why our mutual friend, when he ate 40 oysters at his bachelor party, is that why he projectile vomited? Was it the parasites or was that something else you think?
Forrest, weigh in on that?
No, I don't think so. I think he was very drunk and ate a lot of sodium in a very short amount of time.
$4 each. He ordered 40
Jesus,
for himself.
That's expensive.
And I said, hey, man, you sure you want to eat 40 oysters before we go out for the night? And he goes, what are you, my fucking wife? And I was like, all right, go ahead.
Good point.
He ate 40 oysters. We walked out of the restaurant and he projectile vomited all over the gas lamp district of San Diego at his own bachelor party. So
that's funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
The reason that one came up though is because there's a video on Reddit. It's like in the top right now. Last night I watched it. Some guy fucking in San Diego, in fact, at like one of the top sushi restaurants. There's a worm just wiggling out of his fucking sushi on his plate. Oh, it's disgusting. I was like, oof.
That's bad.
Yeah. Horrific. Horrific. All right. Yeah. Let's do this for the tiebreaker. You must have different answers. No, I'm just kidding. But all right. Pelicans are known to eat birds whole, even eating other adult pelicans sometimes.
I think the first part is true. I think the second part is fiction. I'm going to go fiction.
Okay.
I know this Forest. Is fiction. Pelicans eat fish, not birds. This is nonsense.
All right. That's nonsense. It is, in fact, false. Another tiebreaker. The African lungfish will eat their own legs to help sustain themselves before hibernating for the dry season.
Ooh, that's fact. A tiebreaker.
I have an African lungfish in my aquarium. I've seen it eat its own legs. That is a fact.
All righty. Forrest, what do you say?
I do have an African lungfish right there.
Do you?
Yep. Yep. Right over there. And I also grew up where they're from and used to catch them as a kid and have seen them all balled up in the dry season with all of their legs. So although I don't have anything to support this, I'm going to go fiction.
All right. A great tiebreaker indeed. Forrest is correct. Takes the game. The game winning one. This is, in fact, completely made up by Will, our producer. Thank you, Will.
Well done, Will.
Okay. I guess come talk to my lungfish and you tell me that it's fiction.
Tell him.
I love that Forrest actually has one. I had no idea. I don't know if Will knew
that's
that.
Literally in the corner of my office.
I think you could have said almost anything and he could have just swiveled his computer around and showed us. Yeah.
Something about a really old egg that's been put back together.
No, let's not get
All right, boys. I think.
Oh, boy.
Now it really is time.
It's time.
Yes.
It is time.
Oh, boy.
No, this is not a UFC fight. It's everyone's favorite thing. Literally everyone's favorite thing. The Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Here it is. So, look, Santa Claus, great movie, all three installments, where Tim Allen is legally obligated to become Santa.
That's right.
So,
legally obligated.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, yep. Man.
Mm-hmm.
You've become Santa. I don't know why we're doing this, but I think this is great. You have to pick three animals to drive your sleigh.
Didn't Santa only have one? Did he just have
Santa
reindeer?
He has a pack of reindeer. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Which are not, they don't inherently fly.
Right.
But it's worked for him for decades.
Good point.
Centuries.
Yeah, good point.
He's always made it all the way around the world in a single night.
Sure.
So you get to pick three different species to lead your sleigh.
I like this.
What are you gonna do?
Are we doing a snake draft or no snake draft?
Let's do a snake draft and let's put you in the middle since you've never figured out how it works when you're on the end.
I pick all three the first go round.
Yeah,
exactly.
You got it.
Exactly.
Finally.
Oh, okay.
All right. Great. Let's go.
And Forrest, I go first?
Forrest, you go first.
Sure. Sure. You know, I've given this zero thought until exactly right now. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is the fact that, you know, Santa's reindeer must have incredible stamina to keep that sleigh flying and pulling from to every single house one night a year.
That's a lot.
So stamina is big. Yep. So I'm just going to go, you know, we talked about what was his name? Ted or something, the stud racehorse?
Oh, Tiz, yeah.
Tiz. Yeah.
Tiz the law.
I'm going to go Tiz. You know, I'm going to start not with a species, but specifically Tiz. And his incredible genetics, because horses are, you know, they're amazing long distance runners on stamina. Tiz is obviously at the top of that ladder. So yeah, I'm gonna go Tiz. Tiz is pulling my sleigh, and I can finance my ever failing workshop because these lazy damn elves by just studying Tiz when he's in his off season.
That's really smart. You know? That you might have just won with just that logic there.
Just saying.
I don't think so.
That's smart. All right. What's up? What do you got?
That's great. My first pick is, since I've already created this in a previous battle royale, however, this one won't be breathing fire or doing whatever else the ability I gave it in that one was, but it will be a very, very large animal that makes a loud noise, because I want everybody to have a happy Christmas and they can see me flying around with a giant blue whale pulling me. A giant blue whale flying through the air.
You constantly want whales flying through the air. You've done this before.
It's like your favorite thing.
Yeah.
Why?
Somebody actually, there's a graphic out there of a fire-breathing blue whale now, and I think it's because of me.
It is because of you. All right. So, look, Santa has his group of reindeer, and there's a hierarchy, and it's important with any pack that you've got. You know, you got to have an alpha, right, who keeps the other animals in line.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with a Mexican wolf.
Okay.
That I think her number is
1041.
Yeah, let's see. 1042. Wolf 1042. She, I mean, look, 16 of her kids are the alphas in their packs. She is the ultimate alpha.
Just stealing the old genetic game, huh? Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Not to mention, I will be guaranteed a litter of new alphas for after her time has come. So she's going to kind of lead my pack, right, of flying animals. Now, here's the other thing. Santa has Rudolph, and he frequently uses Rudolph's glowing red nose as his sort of beacon for him to see in bad weather, which you're going to hit when you travel the whole world, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
So I need an animal that has some sort of iridescent qualities. I've always really been interested in the anglerfish. So I'm going to have an anglerfish because it's got this barb that comes off the top of its head with a little glowing orb at the end.
Okay.
That is going to be sort of my Rudolph. I am concerned that my wolf is going to probably just eat the fish, but, for now, those are my two picks. I've got a light and I've got a great alpha for my pack.
So wolf and anglerfish, correct?
Yes, correct.
Good, good. Okay, I get it. I think the light's smart.
Yep. Very smart. Very, very smart.
I like what Pat's doing here. I'm into this because my mind similarly is near that place too. So I have a blue whale with a very loud a sound that it makes to make everybody aware of Santa flying around and delivering toys, because really, Santa goes underappreciated and I want the world to see him flying around. My next pick is going to be just a bird with a beautiful song. And that is the common nightingale will be my second pick, because we will grab the attention of the people so that they can see Santa flying around, and we will make them feel good and happy by having the nightingale serenade them with its beautiful song. A blue whale and
a
common nightingale will be my first two picks.
That's one of the weirdest things you've ever done.
You picked an anglerfish, mate, and a wolf, okay? All right.
All right, Forrest, what are you going to add to your collection here?
I was already thinking along the lines of what Peter was thinking along, but in the complete 100% opposite direction. So he's going, I want everybody to know about Santa. You know, I'm going to have a nightingale announce his arrival. Obviously not what you want. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Santa at all. He's very cryptic. So
I don't want people to think I'm breaking in.
I'm looking for a distraction, right? So I've already got my sleigh taken care of. I got Tiz. You know, he's that's a one horsepower operation. He's solid. He's paying for things. We're good. So now when I'm delivering presents as Santa, I want to make sure that when the kids come running down the stairs to blow my cover, I've got something that's going to throw them off the scent. And what I mean by that is my animal number two is a sloth, because you have never seen a child run by a sloth ever without stopping to go, oh my God, it's a sloth. A child, a teenage girl, you know, an adult girl, an adult man, it doesn't matter. They're all going to stop and look at the sloth. So my distraction animal, while I'm busy chowing cookies and putting presents under the tree, is a sloth.
Is it?
That's it.
Okay.
And right. Oh, that's right. I go two.
No, you got one more.
I do.
Yeah.
That's right.
Who doesn't know how the snake draft works today?
So I got Tiz.
So you've got a very fast horse.
He's pulling the sleigh.
Fly. You've got a distraction
animal. I've got my sloth for distraction. Sloth. And then here's the thing that nobody ever accounts for. Santa has a lot of work to do, right? He's getting a lot done in one night. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to need a second set of hands just to help out in general. Someone who can pass me presents, maybe scale up and down the chimney so my fat ass can stay in the sleigh. I'm getting an orangutan, you know, he's kind of got the smart Santa physique, okay, like the big belly, you know, you could put a little coat on him and a Santa hat. There's no way that a kid's catching that and not being like, oh yeah, that's Santa, you know? So I can literally just like sit in my sleigh, count my money that Tiz is making me, send the sloth down as a distraction, then send down the orangutan with the presents to deliver him. I can just chill in the sleigh all night. Yep.
Okay. Smart.
What's going on?
That's smart.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, back to me, right?
Yeah, you've got a whale and a nightingale.
Is there a third rhyming animal
really bizarre
that you'd like to add to this?
Yeah, maybe a snail?
Forrest has the right idea. However, his execution is piss poor, as usual. An orangutan might be able to carry a present or two. You could send him down the chimney one or two at a time. My next animal will really be able to help me and carry the brunt of the load over Christmas night. It will be an octopus with many very strong tentacles, can carry several thousand presents at once with its 230 load-bearing suction cups.
Good.
That's smart.
And it will.
And just to be clear, you are only delivering presents underwater, right? Between your whale and your octopus.
Do horses fly in real life for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. I think the octopus is a great pick. I don't know it's going to salvage your disaster of a start. But it's smart.
Blue whales are very strong, thoroughbred.
What do you got, okay, Patrick?
Well, look, I've got a glowing orb of my anglerfish, so I'm the only one who has that.
The only one I can see.
So
there's also the moon.
I probably already won.
Things up.
Here's the thing. I like where your head's at, Forrest, in that, you know, you're making some money off your horse, right? And that's helping fund the workshop.
It's a failing business.
I'm
going to
go the other way.
Yeah.
It's not great. I'm going to keep costs down. And how do you do that? Well, kids leave out cookies for Santa and carrots for the reindeer. So I need, in order to keep my feed costs down, I want to take advantage of all those carrots.
To feed your wolf.
What animal loves, well, no, I'm going to have to feed that meat. But what animal loves to eat carrots more than a bunny?
That's true.
Bunnies love carrots. I've seen bunnies snack on them. So I'm going to have flying bunnies that assist me, and I will be able to feed them for
and
the
you'll
whole
be able to
year.
Feed them to the wolf, to 1042. It's like a perfect ecosystem. Sure. You've
and
got
my,
a perfect flying ecosystem. Yeah.
That's
I'm
what
sure
I wanted
to that's what
to
you were
do.
Thinking.
Yep.
Right. Very good.
Okay.
Well done.
So to recap,
well done, Pat.
If you enjoyed our Battle Royale, they're very silly. They're all over the place. Tonight, please let us know where, right here in the comments on YouTube, on iTunes, wherever you're listening. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know who won the Santa's Sleigh Battle Royale. Is it my pick of Tiz the Stud Racehorse, who is actually making me money in the elf season, as well as pulling my sleigh, my sloth as a distraction, or my orangutan who delivers presents? Peter's flying blue whale, which,
a lot of
storage space, right? You didn't talk about that. A lot of storage space. Very strong.
Yep.
And Nightingale, which I still don't particularly understand because it sings. That's
everybody
something.
Likes music. And, we all love music.
There's no boom boxes. Or an octopus who can help deliver his presents. Or Patrick's pick
many hands
of 1042,
strong.
The female Mexican gray wolf. An anglerfish to light the way. And bunnies to steal the carrots. So these are your options for tonight's Battle Royale. Let us know who won. Leave us a 5-star review.
Yes.
And Ritep, if you're into this pod, if you're like, man, have you heard the Wild Times? It's such a great pod. I just wish they had like a t-shirt that said something funny on it. Like, I don't know, a logo or I have no amygdala or my spirit animal's a blobfish. Where would people find such a thing?
Well, Forrest, you can, like many Brosters already have, got a couple pictures I'm actually going to post soon. Go to thewildtimespodcast.com/merch. And for everything else, you can go to thewildtimespodcast.com/info. That'll get you to the YouTube channel and everything else. The anywhere you can listen to the podcast, that link will get you there. And if you don't know, we are putting out basically five times a week videos, little kind of shorter videos on YouTube. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube, go there, like and subscribe, right, Pat? Like and subscribe those videos. And turn that stupid little bell on because YouTube doesn't want you to know when we actually release a video for some reason. But people are liking them. And one of the things I have been getting a lot of feedback on lately is that people really like this community that we have here. Like not just us, but like
right. We
do these lives. We do the premieres sometimes when we launch the podcast. People like talking to each other. I'm pretty sure some people have become fucking
for sure.
friends.
Zero question.
It would appear.
We just had our first Brosner marriage.
we did.
Yeah.
The octopus and the orangutan or the bunny and the wolf?
No, two of the Brosners who met on the YouTube lives.
You're so full of shit.
Yeah. This is great. Yeah.
It's true.
Yep. There'll be pictures posted by Pat on his personal Instagram of that event in the near future.
In the future. Yeah.
But no, yeah, just go check it out. People talk to everybody's real good. People have been mentioning how they like it because it's not a toxic community. There's no bullshit. People are friendly. It's fun. It's getting people through the pandemic. It's getting us through the pandemic. Fucking hit that YouTube up and
hey,
engage.
Happy New Year, right?
It.
By the time you listen to this, 2021, right around the corner. Look forward to hanging out with all you Brosners in a better year ahead. Good night.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night.